This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. As the nation deals with the spread of Ebola and shocking revelations about botched procedures, questions are being asked about adequate funding for the Centers for Disease Control and other anti-Ebola measures. We're joined by Congressman Lloyd Doggett. He also has concerns about the fight against ISIS, corporations deserting their U.S. tax bill, and he's here to take your questions about the job that he's doing here in his district in San Antonio. The number is 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. So, Congressman Doggett, welcome to The Source.
Oh, always good to be with you.
So, first off, let's talk about why you're in San Antonio today. You were here for a special event with Project Quest. Tell us about that.
Well, that was one of several events, but an important one. Fortunately, we have been able to secure another $6 million for Project Quest. Project Quest focuses on connecting people with the opportunity for a living wage job. They've done some great work in the healthcare field where we've had shortages of healthcare workers in doing training, working with San Antonio College. This new grant focuses on home ground IT, that is homegrown information technology. So Project Quest will team with geeks at Rackspace, perhaps at Geekdom, at Denim Group, at Zachary Holdings, where there are some labor shortages. They'll provide the expertise on the information technology side, but the other part of this equation is providing some expertise in working, especially with the long-term unemployed, people that have been searching for a job unsuccessfully for over 6 months. Project Quest has some experience working with folks that are really challenged economically and encouraging them to have the job skills, training them to have the job skills to be successful. So I see this as a win-win. I met with some more of their graduates this morning, a mom with five children who doesn't have a livable wage but has been going through training and now can provide for her family. Seeing people at graduation last year at Our Lady of the Lake University from their program, able to make get their first house, that kind of thing. And I believe from the work I've done on the Human Resources Subcommittee, where employment compensation is one of our key issues, that one thing you can say about building it and they will come is if you build an effective workforce, a diverse and skilled workforce, we will continue to attract more new business and continue the economic expansion here in Bexar County.
Okay, so and let's move on to the big story of the day and how that impacts you in Congress, the ISIS. Not ISIS. We'll get to ISIS, but first Ebola. Yeah. We won't combine those two. But Ebola. So we're seeing that we have another healthcare worker who's tested positive for it. We're seeing, had a press conference in the White House recently learning more about breached protocols in dealing with Ebola. And so questions have been raised about whether or not Congress has been doing the right thing in so many draconian cuts to the Center for Disease Control.
Well, I think Congress hasn't been doing the right thing on much of anything in the House. Yes, the Center for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health, which is focused on finding cures for diseases and doing some of the basic medical research through grants to universities, private institutions, I think they have to be adequately funded. I'm not here to point fingers. I think there is a shared responsibility, but you can't have these across-the-board slashing budgets that take on anything that has public in the name, particularly in the healthcare research area, and not have some consequences. Now that we see this very serious problem, we need to be sure that we are adequately funding both the Center for Disease Control and NIH. Some very valuable healthcare research is being done here in San Antonio in a number of areas of very serious diseases like multiple sclerosis. So whether it is dealing with Ebola or dealing with some of the more long-standing threats to our society, cancer, diabetes, and the like, we need to make a reasonable investment in our public health infrastructure.
Some people in Congress have called for the cutting off of flights from Ebola infected nations in Africa?
I guess my feeling is I'd like to leave it to the healthcare experts with some careful supervision. I'm very concerned about the Ebola situation, as anyone who watches this news is. But most of the healthcare experts we've heard from to date say that won't solve the problem. If there's a conclusion to the contrary, I'd be supportive of that. For right now, I think it's careful screening. And I do agree with Senator Cornyn and several of my Republican colleagues who've called for more thorough screening at our Texas airports. We have some international flights coming in right here in Dallas and in Houston, and we need the same type of effective screening there that is has recently been started at JFK in Chicago.
Now, the U.S. Tries to help nations in West Africa through the U.S. Agency for International Development. They've also seen cuts to their funding. People are saying if we can't stop it in West Africa, then we can't be more feel better, more secure here in the United States.
We are very interrelated. One of the other events that I've been here for is the Las Misiones event at Mission San Jose last night. Father David Garcia, who does such a great job with our missions, is someone who's been to Washington to see me in support of more international assistance on matters like health care. It's easy to condemn all foreign aid, but we are interrelated, and acting in West Africa to build up their public health system is really important. I'm very proud of our U.S. military who are playing a role there, but we need to act there. I think the real danger here is not only what we're hearing in the news today, but the more people that are contract this disease, the greater the danger that this virus will mutate and might get to a point where it can be spread by something other than bodily fluids. That could pose the greatest health risk that this world has faced in a long time.
But that is not the case presently.
It is not.
Regardless of what some people have tried to say on other broadcast outlets, that does not exist now.
That is exactly right. There's no evidence that it's transmitted in any way other than through bodily fluids. And there have been some alarmist comments about this, I think, that are very unreasonable. At the same time, if we don't take appropriate preventive action now and forcefully and enforce protocols, we do risk mutation and a much more
Even in its present form, even without mutation, just Ebola, you know, that we have today is bad enough, particularly if we're not following the procedures and protocols that the CDC has laid out, which we saw at the hospital in Dallas.
Yes, very troubling. I can't understand how that nurse was ever permitted to get on an airplane.
And why they didn't have the hazmat suits for the first 2 days, why they were treating Duncan while they're also treating other patients. It just boggles the mind that this was allowed to happen. We're talking with Congressman Lloyd Doggett here on The Source. If you've got a question or comment for him, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're going to talk about his stance on the fight against ISIS when we come back. Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio today, San Antonio Congressman Lloyd Doggett, a Democrat. He has been in Washington. He has been railing against the funding of the unknown rebels against ISIS and about the corporations that are taking inversions to avoid their tax bill. We're going to talk about that. We invite you to join our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's go to the phones. Bill has called in. Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'm Senator Doggett. I have a question about, is anybody thinking about the security of the borders, and if Ebola gets into a third world country that has less of an organized capacity like we have here in the United States, and then, you know, kind of that problem, the headache that will cause us from, you know, people coming across or people, you know, visiting family here in the United States. I'll hang up. Listen.
Thanks for your call, Bill, and Congressman Doggett.
Thank you, Bill. And I think we have a stake, as we saw even before this Ebola crisis, in adequate public health systems across Central America, across the third and fourth worlds. And our investment there is an appropriate one because with such an interconnected world, we never know when somebody might be headed here. As far as our borders, the only caution I would say there, I want secure borders. But there has been a tendency by those who want to build taller and taller walls between here and Mexico to conflate border immigration issues for economic reasons with terrorism, with the spread of disease. I remember one current candidate for office was claiming leprosy was being brought in from abroad. We need to be mindful of these concerns, but I don't think our principal public health threat comes from the danger of someone like a child crossing the border and turning themselves into the National Guard or the Border Patrol. I believe what we need is comprehensive immigration reform so that people aren't risking their life through the desert or across a river to come here. We deal with those who've been here working in America, contributing to our country, give them a path forward, and set up a reasonable guest worker program. For now, we know the most immediate health care threats have been through mistakes made by Texans here in Texas, and we need to learn from those mistakes and that breach of protocol and see that it does not happen again. I think we need effective screening. Certainly, if it does appear that there's any spread of this disease into the Americas beyond where it is now, that could call for additional screening at our border.
We did have screenings on the border when we had the H1N1 scare not that long ago, 5-6 years ago, and we saw of some people who were coming across who were, you know, crossing the bridges legally, and that was dealt with, and it was managed and eventually did not become the crisis that had been predicted. So there is some precedent for that. Back to the phones, Antonio has called in. Antonio, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Antonio, last call. All right, you're out. Okay, his question was immigration reform. Will it happen?
Well, I think it's important that the president act through his executive authority before the end of this year if there's no willingness on the part of Congress to do what the Senate did over a year ago and what the House could do at any moment. The delay, the refusal to act on this, I think has been one of the greatest failures of this Congress. You have such a wide range of groups recognizing that there's probably no jobs bill that we could pass that wouldn't cost additional federal dollars, but would do much to stimulate the economy, especially here in Texas. So I view that as a real priority. There's still a chance of action this year. But if we don't see congressional action, the president needs to move forward to the extent of his authority as soon as possible.
Well, as soon as possible would mean right now. And President Obama says he is going to take action after the midterm elections. And that has been interpreted as something that he is doing to provide cover for Democratic candidates in states that take a dim view of immigration reform.
I can't disagree with that analysis. I certainly disagree with the president in having delayed this. I think probably it creates as many minuses in terms of discouraging people and dispiriting people as it does any political gains. I think it would have been better to do the right thing and to do it promptly, and that's what I urged him to do.
Okay, back to the phone lines. Renee has called in. Renee, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
Congressman, thank you. Back on the front here, the domestic front, in our community here in the south end of town, we have a scenario where we have a concentration of affordable housing. There's been extensive reporting by the Express News that it violates federal housing standards, yet we have developers working with Central City, with the city of San Antonio, and they're trying to take some public land behind the Mission Library and put more housing in there. Is there any way that we could get help from your office to make those standards and you know, regulate it somehow? Because they can't put more housing there. You know, we have a neighborhood association that's worked for 16 years to try to put a YMCA there. They got $2.5 million, and now they're being said, well, no, we're not going to give you the parkland around it. You're going to have to live with 300 apartment units, yet, you know, it's been stated over and it's been researched that it does violate federal housing rules as it is right now.
Renee, I was right by the Mission Library, as I mentioned, at Mission San Jose last night on a beautiful evening. and the Mission drive-in looked really good as well. I would be glad to get further information about that project and the federal implications of it in our office. I've met with the Neighborhood Association previously. I was aware there was some controversy there, but I don't have the details. Our office is located downtown, just a block down the street from Santa Rosa Hospital. We're on the sidewalk to be accessible. I'd be pleased to have you or anyone else concerned about this issue come by and visit.
So, Renee, what is the name of the Neighborhood Association?
That'd be the Mission San Jose Neighborhood Association.
And the violations that you're saying are occurring?
Well, basically, one would be that, you know, as everything converts to affordable housing in that area and they put these 300 units, you know, it's a concentration of poverty in the Hispanic Hispanic ethnic group. The second that's a big violation for the community is they've been working for 16 years and 6-7 years now with the YMCA to do the right thing for that site, and to put in and mess up the view shed from the Mission to the river is the wrong thing. And just recently, 210 Development with Henry Cisneros walked in about 2 years ago and said, no, we're going to put these 300 units, but yet they never consulted with the community. And so we feel very betrayed.
Okay. Renee, thank you for calling. We appreciate it, and we'll look into this.
Thank you.
Okay, so let me ask you about ISIS. You were one of 85 congressmen who voted not to fund the fight against ISIS, not against fund the rebels and arm the rebels. Why was that?
Well, the one vote we had was not the vote that Congress should have taken. It was only, which is whether or not we want to authorize a broad war in the Middle East, but it was a vote about whether ISIS, whether moderate Syrians would be armed, if you can identify moderate Syrians, in Saudi Arabia at the time, a place that uses beheadings on a regular basis against those it claims are sorcerers or other nebulous offenses. My feeling is that the first standard is, will this action do a better job of protecting American families? And that's how you evaluate it. And I think that the idea of us getting in the middle of a civil war in Syria is a real problem. I didn't feel that there was an adequate plan there, and that I want to avoid an extended land war with troops on the ground. I had a very compelling message from a woman here in San Antonio who contacted me to say, I don't use the term troops on the ground.
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. They're all troops on the ground, but boots on the ground. Gloria Flores, who said her family still mourned her nephew who was lost in Afghanistan, and we need to consider that these are individuals we're sending there, and be sure we have a plan of not only how we're going to get in, but how we will get out. I have no problem with special forces against ISIS, with the use of aircraft, but when we place on the ground one boot after another, we run the danger of long-term entanglement that makes us no safer than some of the things that happened in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Saudi Arabia has beheaded 59 people since January 1 this year. That's according to Newsweek. But you're saying, so you're okay with drone strikes and aerial bombardments of ISIS rebels, of ISIS, but not the training or anything else? What do you mean?
What I'm in favor of is that before there is any extended warfare in this area, Congress needs to authorize it. And we voted to have no action there without authorization. And then again, on the eve of the election, a majority of members of Congress, I think, on both sides, didn't really want to take a stance. And I think there should have been a direct vote on whether to authorize extended action there. It's one thing to go in and hit ISIS on a particular attack. It's another to extend it over months and years. And what the president has now defined is something that we've been unable to do with al-Qaeda, that we were unable to do in Iraq or with the Taliban, and that is to totally obliterate it and to say that this may take years. Well, in that kind of engagement, I think Congress needs to define the limits. We have seen that there are limits to American power despite the sacrifice of so many courageous young people in Afghanistan and Iraq. Before we embark on yet another extended war, we need to understand what the limits are.
But you have gone on the record as saying that you don't think that ISIS is a danger to U.S.
Well, I've gone on the record as basically quoting General Dempsey as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who, when asked just before this, said that ISIS was a regional threat, but that it did not pose a threat to our homeland. Those who have talked about it being a threat to our homeland have expressed legitimate concern about people returning from fighting there to fight here or to do terrorist acts here. There's a different way to address that than by sending a land army into Syria and Iraq.
And real quickly now, you have also been very vocal about your opposition to U.S. corporations leaving the United States and becoming another part of another nation, and you want the United States to stop giving contracts to these companies, companies like Burger King.
Absolutely. You know, when I go to get a burger at any number of places here in San Antonio, those small businesses don't have the choice of going to Canada or Bermuda or the Cayman Islands to reincorporate. I don't think Burger King should be given a competitive advantage over them. And I think this is really renouncing American citizenship. It's from some of the companies that rely the most on our national security and on our judicial system and stable economy here in the U.S. They ought to be paying their fair share, and they're not.
All right. Congressman Lloyd Doggett, thanks for joining us. He is a congressman from District 35 here in San Antonio and Austin, the I-35 district, as you know it, a Democrat. Thanks for joining us here on The Source this afternoon.
Thank you, David. Thanks so much.
And when we come back from the NPR and local news break, we're going to be talking about the U.S. Supreme Court and the cases that they've decided and the cases that they didn't decide to take up in this session. This is The Source on KSTX. Stay tuned.